getting really good feedback to this little series. It's just so good to be putting something positive out into New Zealand, into New Zealanders' hearts and souls and minds. But I want to take on an issue of the way we can be change makers in this world. There's been all of this period in New Zealand for the last few years where one group's been telling the other group how to do it, from you will take the jab, we are the one source of truth, to I'm not going to do anything and we shouldn't be having you tell us to do anything and you're wrong to be following them, and no, you're wrong. And it's just gone, it just takes the energy down. Squabbling takes the energy down, and that's the last thing we need. The last thing we also need is division. We need unity. We need respecting different views. You've alluded to this in this series once. But how do you lead, or how do you inspire? Because it's not even about leadership. How do you inspire a change in a human society towards a higher vibration level of thought? I don't know what the word is, because vibration can sound a bit wah-wah. Just a more inspired, respectful societal interaction. What's the way to do that?
Just through you. So if you want to see more connection and more community, then you have to do that first. It's not forcing other people from some other point of view or making laws to make this happen or yada, yada, yada. It's just being a really good example. It's the best words I have for it. If you find a lot of practitioners, I've certainly found over the years, that there's a lot of practitioners who have the biggest hearts and are so generous with their time and so generous with what they do. And they end up sacrificing themselves, whether it be by working every day, whether it be by not charging for something, whatever it might be. And they might work through their lunch break because it's really important that I help this person and do this. But if you're coming from a point of sacrifice, how can you teach someone to look after themselves?
Huh.
Like, that's what we really want to teach. I would like people to feel empowered in themselves, to make their own decisions, to look around with their own eyes and look at their own life experience and decide how they want to tell their stories, and then to live well. And it has to start with you. Like, you can't teach something or give someone something you don't have. If you, at the studio, we often say, look, if you can't stand on a Swiss ball, like on an exercise ball, you can't teach someone else to do it.
Yes.
If you can't do it, you can't teach someone else. So all you have to do is be what you want to be and listen to your own self and listen to your own wisdom. You're not dumb. Just because someone's been a professor or someone's a doctor or someone's a this or a that, who's to say they're any smarter? Yeah, there's some things they'll know that you don't know, but there's some things that you know that they don't know. And when it comes to your body, you will always know. If I listen to my clients well, they will always tell me how something came about.
Give an example of that.
I had a client who came in, this is years ago now, and she'd been playing netball. And she said, oh, I've had this neck problem. I played this game of netball once and I've had this neck problem, and I've been to every chiropractor and they want to do surgery on my neck and da 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 because it hurts every time I do everything. And I said, oh, cool, okay. So we'll have a look at your posture first. So I had a look at her posture, got her to take her shoes off, and her feet were completely flat on the ground. And I said, oh, what's happened with your feet? And she goes, oh, actually, I tried to tell a surgeon. When I was little, I had some issue with maybe pronation or some way my feet were. And they put me in these shoes that they strapped me into, like Velcroed her into, to flatten out my feet. And I would clomp along in these big shoes till I was, she goes, I must have been like 8 or 9 when I got out of them. And I reckon my neck's been off since then, but I was told, no, that was a postural correction, so it can't be. She knew her neck had been off. All I had to do was get the external rotators in her legs working. I did a couple of exercises to switch them on, showed her where the weight and balance was on her feet, and suddenly her neck moved freely and normally. Whereas everyone else was going on the basis that it got really bad after she did a jump at netball, landed, and her neck really hurt. Whereas actually, she'd been saying, my neck's been sore since I was a kid, since I wore these shoes. It was actually, you know, your feet are the base of your building blocks. If I build a building block tower and my base is all skew, if it's going to be a really unstable tower. It's the same with people. How you walk on your feet and how your legs are and how your knees track is going to decide how the rest of your posture is and how your body feels. A lot of issues up here are actually issues down in the feet or in the leg tracking or in the pelvic position. But yeah. People don't want to listen. They go, oh, well, you had that car crash. Oh, well, I did get migraines before that, but you know what I mean? So people know, if you give them enough time, I think our bodies innately know. I mean, health and well-being is our natural state. So how many people are living outside their natural state and then believe it's hard to get back there? No, it's your natural state. Just like joy is your natural state.
There's a whole conversation there, but just as you're explaining what you just explained about the feet, I'm thinking of all of the jab injured Kiwis who I've talked to who've said, I went into the hospital and I said, I know this was the jab. I know my body wasn't like this before I had the jab. And they're being told, no, you're anxious. No, you have a genetic condition. No, this is, all these other excuses they're coming up with. And often they've said, I feel traumatized because I'm not being listened to. It's a secondary trauma on top.
Yeah.
The importance of listening to each other is so, it has quite a magical healing quality, Susie. I've done interviews where someone who's been bearing something for a year will say, I feel a whole lot lighter. I feel, feels like something's lifted off my back. And that's just talking and being honored and listened to. What is that? What is it about our need to be heard as human beings?
Well, do you think it's just connection again? Because when we're connected, we feel we're heard and we're seen.
Mm.
And so for a lot of people, that will then make them feel they are valued or they are valid. Therefore, they are worthwhile.
Mm.
Right? And so it really is just about connection, because connection comes with communication, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And if we have a connection, we know we're heard and we're seen within this connection. So I feel that's really what people are after. And in our technological world, people don't need to be connected. I mean, the number of people I know who have said, I don't care if there's another lockdown, I can just work from home just as easily. It's absolutely shocking that we are okay to live in our own houses, maybe by ourselves, ordering everything online, living online. I mean, that's really, energetically, our bodies need connection. They need other loving human connection. So
with these dead machines, they're rolling out an experiment in Huntley where they're going to deliver pizzas by drone. And you think of all the darkness that could come if we just accept these things buzzing everywhere above us. You know, there can be spy cameras. There can be all sorts of things that are not just pizzas, but they're doing it in this very benign way.
Well, you could think that way, but you could also think, I had a client who was bringing in drones that they wanted to use to transport people for faster evac for ambulances.
Oh, wow.
So imagine if, you know, I sliced my hand open, I sliced an artery in January. If that was a bigger artery somewhere, I might not have been able to stop that. And get there in time. And I was very grateful to have hospitals and doctors and people who could sew that stuff up. Mm. And, you know, I asked for everything on my own terms, and this is how we're going to do things, and this is what I want. But I was very grateful for that. So if you have someone that has an emergency situation, having a drone that can lift a person up with a paramedic would be fantastic. So it depends how we think about it. Does not everything have the ability to have a light and a dark? Do people not tend to have those sides if we want to look at it that way?
And that's not being Pollyanna-ish about it. That's not just saying, oh, everything's lovely. It's saying, no, there is a dichotomy in this world.
It's what we choose to do with it.
Mm.
And once again, there's no one person or one company that has power. The only power they have is if they scare everyone into believing something must be done
a certain way.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
And so the more people that, if we can set a good example in ourselves by being our own person and self-responsible and choose everything we do, You may go, oh, I didn't want to do that. Well, you did it. I don't want to get up and go to work. Well, you did it, so you chose it. So if we take responsibility for these things and we start looking after ourselves better, that's going to spread. In my friendship group and in my professional group, that's just what we all do. That's very normal. So a lot of the things that, you know, if I did watch the news, a lot of the things I'd watch, I'm a little perplexed over, because that's not, in my life, that's not what happens.
Such as?
We don't just listen to anything the talking heads on TV say, and we don't believe it either. And just because someone tells me something doesn't mean it's true. You know, how much science has been changed over the years? We used to think we had to bleed people by drilling holes in their skulls to take the demons out. We've gone a little bit past that now.
Yeah, but when Simon Dallow announces conspiracy theorist Liz Gunn did this today...
See, I don't even know this person. I don't even know this name.
That
I know
has to
Liz
be true,
Gunn,
doesn't it?
But I do not know this other person. So it depends what you want to pay attention to again.
Exactly.
Liz. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People can say whatever they like. But like I said, people who want to put others down, people who want to be mean, they're not being mean to you. They're just mean. That's on them. It's not you. You know, do what you want to do. People can do what they like, say what they like.
Believe
what they
like.
Listen, not listen. Believe, not believe. But when it comes down to it, let's see who's the happiest. Now, my mentors in life are some of the happiest people I have ever met. They get so much joy out of every inch of their life. And I'm not going to courses, and I'm not going to go and learn from people who are miserable or people who are talking other people down. Why would I do that? I want to learn off people who are doing more, who have more joy, more peace, more whatever it is. Those are the people I like talking to.
And the subject of this is really, how do you make change? Well, you make it, as you said at the start, by being it. Be the change you want to see in the world. You had a really happy experience in the whole lockdown scenario, didn't you? You found it all quite a joyful time when a lot of people were miserable, traumatized, scared.
And I can see why. I mean, I, you know, during lockdowns, there were no chiropractors, there were no, so I was getting calls left, right and centre for, I've put my neck out, I've put my back out, I can't get off the floor. Some people were comfortable seeing me, some people wanted me to do something online, whatever it may be. But what was really fascinating, it was just a fascinating time. I love all this stuff. I love when people are pushed, what happens. I want to work with people to help them just live to their best potential. That's really what I'm after. So this was a really fascinating time for me, and I got to create a whole bunch of programs that I wouldn't have done if all of this stuff hadn't happened. And for me also, you know, like I said, it's when rules are silly, you just shouldn't follow silly rules.
What makes someone have that critical thinking ability and someone else be willing to be a sheeple? It literally is being willing to, you tell me what to do, you can herd me, I give you my power.
Yeah, but
see,
it's
I can't do that. You can't do that.
It's just programming. So sometimes the, you know, so-called conspiracy theorists, which actually if you look into the history of where that came from, that name was actually seeded by an American three-letter agency, and it was written about. There used to be a book about it, can't find it anymore.
It was the
to
CIA
put down people
after Kennedy.
Who were critically thinking, right? To make critically thinking seem like a dumb thing and to make people mock you so that you would get back into line. And mocking is one of the fastest ways to get people back into line, because most people can't put up with mocking, which is why so many comedians are being shut down, which is ridiculous. Best thing ever to have comedians around. Fantastic. I just think a lot of the people in the kind of conspiracy theory category have been people who have felt like black sheep their whole life. They've been left out because of something. Now, when you've been left out, you have two choices. You're number one, you desperately try and get back and do whatever it takes. Dye your hair blonde, wear tight pants and fit in with the Ponsonby mums. I don't know, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Put on your swan dry and wear your gumboots and swear like a farmer to fit in down in Morrinsville. You know what I mean? Or you can go, man, I don't fit in. Screw that. I'm not going to fit in. So once you have balked at that program, and it is an innate program in humans, because in the past, if we had been left out from the herd, so to speak, we could have been attacked. We wouldn't have. So humans in history probably had to be secure in groups. And so this is a very deep program in the reptilian brain that drives us, right? Safety, sustenance, sex. It's that safety program. When you maybe as a kid felt you didn't fit in, and most people, you know, the number of clients over the years that go, oh yeah, I never fitted in. It's like 90% of people. Oh yeah, such and such said I was popular, but I always felt different. Everyone has to go through that. That's just part of becoming an adult. But when people have lived a bunch of their life not fitting in, so to speak, it doesn't scare them as much. They go, eh, so I don't fit in. It didn't kill me. Here I am. And I'm actually having fun in my weird little hippie world. You know what I mean? Mm. And so there are a lot of people who are looked down on for looking different or saying things differently. But often they've been left out because they've been too curious. So some of our best critical thinkers are actually in that group. Of course, there's crazy people everywhere. There's crazy people who are doctors. There's crazy people who are firemen.
There are crazy people who are politicians.
No.
That one. This is such a beautiful idea, though, that just be free. We talked about in the first of these four. Be happy being alone. Don't give in to loneliness. Be happy being different, being your own person. Don't give in to there's something wrong with me. It's all how we think about it, isn't it? It's everything comes down to our choices in between these two ears.
Everything.
Really.
Everything. And you can change everything like that.
Really?
100%.
You've seen people change their programming, their
week on week. Have a client for the first time, week later have them again, and they're like, my life is different. And it happens again and again and again. And we see them. And the staff will comment and go, wow, what happened? Sometimes over a session. You do an hour session with the first client. They come in looking one way and they walk out completely different energy.
I know a friend of mine who's come to see you, and I won't say his name, but he is so different in 4 weeks. So different. We won't go into the details here of what you do. If people are curious, we put details underneath in each of these. But you did mention courses, and last week you mentioned a course that you do. Can you talk a little bit about that, Susie? Because I think, as well as, you know, what you've advocated is be responsible, be an adult, choose your path, be the change you want to see. But certain courses can help, can't they? Doing this with others who are like-minded can help cement in changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm an avid learner. Mm. So I read, I don't know, 2 to 4 books a week. If any of my mentors are doing courses, I'm like right on them. If there's anything I find interesting, I'm right on that. I just love learning stuff. So for me, I also really enjoy teaching stuff as well, because it doesn't have to be hard. And we do have some courses coming up that help you look after yourself and give you the tools and the understanding. So I've written a book that will be coming out very soon. And we have courses that go on the back of that book as well, so that you can learn what a blood sugar mechanism is, so that you can learn what metabolic type you are, and just weekend courses that things that have made a big difference in my life. And over the past, you know, 20 plus years, you know, I'm so grateful. So many of my clients I've had for more than 20 years. And so I get to see what works in their life and what doesn't. It's like the best laboratory situation ever. And not only that, some of my clients, I have 4 generations.
Wow.
And so you see what works. It's not like if I'm doing nutrition, a lot of nutritionists I know see the client once or twice and then have no idea what's happened. A lot of physios I know, you know, they'll get to see them a number of times and then they have no idea what happens. For me, I get to see these things long term and hear about their lives and see how that's going with their kids. And so it's a great learning environment. And I've always been teaching courses, so...
The best recommendation is when somebody recommends all their family members and all their friends. And that's what I've done with you. I recommend you to a lot of friends. And they come and they're blown away. Yeah, it's beautiful. But in terms of the book, if I could get an advanced copy of that, she says, trying to maneuver her way in, I would love to read that. Because in a way, it's been about what we've been talking about, I gather, over the last few weeks, how to live a happier, a more peaceful, a more self-fulfilling life.
Yeah.
to do that, the politicians and what they decide for our lives can become really just a sideshow, a circus sideshow. We don't need to buy into any of the fear anybody else is putting out in society. We can literally, Susie, live a quality of life that is the quality we want right now. We don't have to wait till a good bunch of politicians are in, or wait till there are fairer rules or more sanity in the world, or Joe Biden finally gives up running for president. We can do it now.
There's always crazy stuff happening.
Yeah.
So, like I said, are you going to live your full life just in the calm or in the storm as well? Are you going to hunker down in your house every time there's a storm, or are you going to go outside and enjoy it and be like, this is insane? This is really cool. You just need to make a decision, and it's not hard. And it's taken a lot of time to get to the point where I go, oh, actually there is a book. And I suddenly felt inspired, and it really is just simple stuff. To me, it seems very simple. And the others who I've had read it are like, actually, that's really easy. And so it doesn't have to be hard. And that's really a lot of where I work from, is people are like, oh, I need to be healthy. And I'm like, no, you need to have joy. You need to have fun in your life. You need to have some peace. And the health will come, because health is your natural state. So if you lead a life where you're feeling pretty chuffed with yourself and pretty grateful about things, and you can see the good things in every day, and you can look for the good things in people, you can enjoy your food, and you can enjoy being you, guess what? You're healthy.
Do you advocate a list of what not to do? For example, do not watch that television at night. Do not allow it to scare you. Do not take on their narratives, their agendas. Do you do the no, don't do this?
People need different things at different times. Mm. And sometimes there are people who would not do well with just suddenly stopping everything. It's very hard to stop when you've got momentum in a certain way.
Or you believe the world is set up that way.
That would actually do them damage.
Yeah.
To just suddenly stop. You know, if you're on antidepressants and you want to come off antidepressants, you don't suddenly stop. That will more likely than not end up in a suicide. So we don't do that. Everything we do is measured and tested with your body for what you need. So if I have clients who go, but the movie at night is just, that's the thing that does it for me, and I just watch one movie a night, cool. I get them to go to find Blue Blockers. What were they? Blueblocks.com. I think they're Bond Charge now. Fantastic company. There are lots of blue blocking glasses. These are the only ones I've seen that actually work well. And they're just glasses that have like an orange lens, and they actually block 100% of the blue light. And I've put them on friends and gone, try them for the next couple of nights. So as soon as it gets dark, you're going to put your blue blocking glasses on, do TV, do your computer, because a lot of them have to work at night. And again, it's their choice, but they feel they have to do their computer work at night when the kids are asleep. And they wear these, and after 3 days, they're like, oh my God, I'm sleeping so well.
Wow.
Because the brain can calm down, because it's not getting all that light pushing and telling it it's the middle of the day, so the repair hormones can still come out. So there's always ways around things. You love coffee, I'll find a way for you to do it in a healthy way. You love watching your movies every night, I'll find a way for you to do it in a good way until you don't need that anymore. It's not like, you know, a lot of people go, well, you can't do this, and there's no one's going to follow that damn plan. That's too much. People are already overwhelmed. If your arms are already full, I'm not going to add more to your load. It's almost like if you had supporting columns under your house, and I go, yeah, you need to remove 10 of those, and you're like, my house is going to fall down. So I'm more a fan of building. Well, let's build the really quality columns. We'll build them under your house. And then when the quality ones are there, the non-quality ones will just crumble. And I get clients coming in going, I haven't had a coffee in 3 days, and I only just realized. Or I've been going to bed at 8:30 and I didn't even try. Or I haven't drunk alcohol in 3 days. So I'm not going to tell you not to drink alcohol. I'm not going to tell you not to drink coffee. I can tell you what that'll do to your body long term, and the amounts. But if there's something that you're really enjoying, not for diversion reasons, we'll find a way to get your body doing that. There's plenty of ways to get your body doing things. You know, it's not like every single thing is going to be super peachy all the time. So there's tons of ways to do it. So no, not really.
It's such a beautiful way to end this little series, because I think so many Kiwis now have a visceral reaction to someone who goes, you'll do it this way. I'm the one sort of source of truth comes back, or you will not have a job if you don't do what I want. That was such a traumatizing period. And what you advocate is the total opposite, lovingly supporting change, primarily by you being the example of that. Secondarily, by information, communication that helps people to think differently. But also thirdly, just take your time and do it when you're ready. Loving, gentle, honoring of each other.
Trust the journey. And if someone doesn't look healthier than you, don't follow them for health advice.
Mm-hmm.
If someone doesn't look happier than you, don't follow them for happiness advice. You know, follow those people who have that, who you feel good around. Follow the people who, when you listen to them, you feel good. And ideally, those people are the ones that'll help you up. And then you don't need to follow anymore. And you can just be your own person and enjoy your own life.
It's beautiful. Brings to vision, to mind, visions of Grant Robertson, who I think is the Minister of Sport.
I don't even know who these people are.
Oh, gosh.
Am I just not paying attention?
I think that's part of the healthy mind that you've got, Susie. Thank you. It's been a delight. You genuinely don't know who these people are, do you? See, that's health.
No, not at all. Do I want to? Am I missing something?
Not for a moment.
No.
I'd far rather listen to another Susie
series. I know some
series.
Amazing quality people, though. Better people to talk about.
Before we finish, who are some of those mentors you mentioned? I did want to follow that up. You said mentors that I follow are really happy, joyful people. Who are some of your mentors? Because people may want to look some of those up.
Well, quite a few of them over the years have been people that I have met. A Chinese medic of mine. So these aren't people who offer courses or have website presences.
Paul Check does, though, doesn't he?
Paul Check is incredible.
C-H-E-K.
Eat, Move and Be Healthy is his first book. It's phenomenal. And a lot of the stuff that was created with the Check Institute within healthy living and well-being. So it's thoughts, breathing, hydration, nutrition, exercise and rest. It's pretty simple. And in that order, thoughts the most important, rest the least important. Wow. Dr. Cliff Oliver, so he's got the centerforbalance.com. He's been a long-term mentor. Phenomenal. I mean, the research he has partaken in, he was talking to me about Dr. Robert Malone 20 years ago, well before this mRNA. I was very aware. So I was very surprised when mRNA was used in a technology for humans, because I was aware of the animal trials. So the people I look up to and I follow are people who just are curious. They're those people we can have conversations and find out what is right. Mm. Dr. John Kay, he was my first kinesiology mentor, one of, I think, two doctors of kinesiology in the world, blew my mind, introduced me to literal miracles in life.
Is that K-A-Y?
K-A-Y-E. He's Australian, and he traveled the world. He's worked with everyone. Phenomenal guy. The mentors that I've had, a lot of them are now to that point that I've been with them for so long that some of them we're working together now, that it's more a friendship now rather than when I started I was like, oh, I need to know everything, you know, dump your head, we're going to take everything out of your brain. And then there's people that, you know, I've only really seen in passing and listened to, like you're talking about Bruce Lipton. I heard him speak the other day and I was reminded how often I use his stories and analogies when I talk to clients. Mm. So he may know that, but he may not know how much through him I've been able to pass on that information at the right time to the right people.
And his book, The Biology of Belief,
is seminal, amazing. Book. And then if you want to listen to Joe Dispenza, Joe Dispenza is just incredibly relevant. A lot of great stuff at the moment. There's a lot of people. I mean, we can post some lists if you like. The back of my book has a whole list of stuff that I just find really phenomenal.
I cannot wait till your book comes out. This, what a lovely way to finish with people until we do the next series. They can really start to deep dive into some of those. And then in another few weeks, another four. I'd love to do that. Four little bites of four, Susie. The Susie series. Thank you so much.
Thank you.